Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please remain upstanding for the prayer and the reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you. You all may be seated. Now, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we have an issue with the air conditioning, so if you get rather steamy, it's not yourselves, it is. And I apologise for that in advance. If you see me starting to take the robes off, you'll know why. Two, apologies and leave of absence.
This evening we have an apology from Councillor Malick, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Malick, thank you. Changes to the order of business.
There are no changes.
Deputations.
No deputations, Madam Mayor.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. Nil. Adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Councillor Carley.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 12th of December 2016 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. The motion's been moved by Councillor Carley. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I wish to second that motion. That is true and correct, the minutes of the previous meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does anyone want to speak to that motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Record of Assembly of Councillors. There's a recommendation there, councillors, for the meetings dated the 12th of December 2016 and 30th of January 2017. Do I have a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the Record of Assembly of Councillors dated the 12th of December 2016 and the 30th of January 2017 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. The motion's been moved by Councillor Carley. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Correspondence inwards, Neil. Petitions and joint letters. Neil. We have the resumption or debate or any other business carried over from the previous meeting. You have motion 10.1, or we have 10.1 notice of motion 443, Councillor Kissinge.
Madam Mayor, if you allow me, I'm happy that the matter lay on the table for the further months, pending the briefing that is to be given to councillors on this subject.
Thank you, Councillor Kissinge. Do I have a second of?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I second that motion. That the business carried up in the previous meeting regarding this issue be held over to further reports.
The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Kessidge, seconded by Councillor Hardy. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. We will now turn to our CEO for public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have only one public question this evening, and that has been submitted by Mr. Garrick Oates, and he is in the gallery. The question reads, Dear Council officers and councillors, I would like to know if there have been any proposed or requested changes to the Infrastructure 173 agreement between Melton Council and the Ainsbury developer in the last year. In particular, are the infrastructure milestones still as they were in 2013? And Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Garrick, for your question. The primary developer of the Ainsbury estate, who is currently the High Property Group, we have been in discussions with them over the last 6 to 12 months in terms of their future stages of development and how that might unfold in terms that are consistent with the current approved development plan. There has been no request for changes to the infrastructure requirements that they are obliged to meet under the agreement that accompanies the development approval. So the obligations that applied in 2013 that you refer to are still in place and still will be triggered in the same way as they reach development milestones. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. That was the quickest public question time in history.
Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I've spoken to the residents down at Ainsbury, and the point is, what are the triggers regarding the 1,000 house lots? And this 173 has not been altered. I think that's the two issues that the residents are really looking to get clarification on.
Slightly abnormal, but I'll let you answer that if you've got the answer on hand.
Through you, Madam Mayor, if I can just give a quick background, when the development was originally approved some 10 years ago or thereabouts, there were certain obligations placed on the then developer that they had to provide certain pieces of infrastructure as the development unfolded. That included things like new road accesses, sporting facilities, community facilities, pavilions and the like. The agreement is quite... And there was a minor change to the development plan in the development agreement, the associated development agreement some years ago. The agreement is very specific about when those pieces of infrastructure must be provided. The first key trigger is at 1,000 lots. The developer is currently at around about 948 lots from memory. So they're quite close to triggering the first major requirement, which is relates to sporting ovals and associated pavilion, which is slightly thereafter. The requirements of the development agreement and more particularly the development contributions is very complicated, so I can't sit here and reel off every specific requirement, but from 1,000 lots on, there are specific requirements that apply on the developer. As they reach that number of lots, they have to provide other key pieces of infrastructure. That's a public document. I'm certainly happy. I think Garrick is already well aware of that. I'm happy to provide him another copy to ensure that he's fully aware, as are the community group, of the specific requirements. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Luke. Mr. Shannon, sorry. Okay, we'll move on to presentation of staff reports. We have 12.1. Councillors, is there anyone that has any of the items that are blocked? Not that I need to be prompting anybody.
12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12 and 13. 1, 2, 3, 12, 13.
I believe 12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12.12 and 12.13.
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move the blocked items, but I didn't write them down, to be honest. 12.1, 12.2... 12.3 were the first three. There was another couple.
12 and 13.
12.12 and 12.13.
Thank you.
I'm happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Do we have a seconder for the procedural motion? Move
I'd like a seconder. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Okay, the motion before us has been to move 12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12.12 and 12.13 in block. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Bushy. All those in favour of the motion, The motion's carried. Thank you. We will now move on to 12.4. The investigation of venues in the Eastern Corridor suitable for hosting ordinary meetings of council, and that report will be brought to us by our CEO, Calvin Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, as you would be aware, there was a request for council officers to investigate the suitability of alternate potential meeting sites located in the Eastern Corridor that may prove suitable for the hosting of ordinary meetings of council. This investigation has been completed, and you will note appended to the report at pages 134 and 135 is a grid that assesses each of the potential venues against the relevant criteria that staff had deemed to be appropriate to this consideration. Suffice to say that following the investigation, the most suitable venue from officers' assessment is the Taylors Hill Youth and Community Centre, which is one of the more recent significant facilities that Council has constructed, and does have a very good, relatively large public meeting space contained within it. And it should meet the requirements for the conduct of a council meeting. Therefore, the recommendation does refer to holding a meeting at that venue on the 6th of March, which is a scheduled council meeting, and then tentatively pending an assessment of how well that meeting proceeds and how suitable the venue proves to be, that a further meeting be held there on the 26th of June. Further, officers have drawn to Council's attention that we are currently about to commence the process of design for stage two of the Burnside Children's and Community Centre, and this does present the opportunity for that design work to incorporate a multi-purpose area within that extension or stage two that would suit not only public meetings of various types, but would actually be set up in such a way as to facilitate council meetings. So the audio and all those other elements that have to be brought into non-specific venues could be pre-planned and set up. So that forms the third part of the recommendation, that officers incorporate into that design work an appropriate multifunction space. So I therefore present to councillors the recommendation as detailed on page 131.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, with in recommendation, the second dot point where it says tentatively schedule the ordinary meeting of council to be held on the 26th of June 2017. Tentatively, because of the location, not the date?
Yes, that's it refers to satisfactions with the facilities as evidenced at the meeting. So okay. I guess you could read it that if that facility doesn't work, then we'll find another Eastern Corridor facility to try on that date, is the other reading of that wording.
That's what I was just about to ask, because I was going to say, Madam Mayor, the 6th of March, so that's locked in, but if, say, we had it on the 6th of March at the Taylors Hill Youth Centre, and for whatever reason the location wasn't suitable, could we still have it on the 26th of June somewhere else but in the Eastern Corridor?
And that would be subject to a further discussion by councillors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other councillors seek further clarification?
I'll be the second.
Councillor Turner. Sorry?
I'll be the second.
Are you happy to move it?
I know, we were just asking questions, Madam Mayor. Is everyone still asking questions?
Yeah, I would like we're to still know. Asking questions.
Okay.
Have you got any more questions? No more questions? Okay. Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation. But if I could, just on dot point two, I just did want it to read, and if the CEO could help me with some wording, that if there is an issue with the location, that that date would still be locked into the second meeting in the Eastern Corridor, which was the 26th of June.
Then I suggest the wording be changed slightly, Councillor Carley, to...
Thank you.
Delete the word tentatively and have scheduled the ordinary meeting of council to be held on 26th of June 2017 at Taylor's Hill Youth and Community Centre or an alternate site should council determine the facilities at Taylor's Hill Youth and Community Centre were not satisfactory. And then that solves that issue.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation that Council 1 hold the ordinary meeting of Council scheduled for the 6th of March 2017 at Taylor's Hill Youth and Community Centre. Number 2, what Mr. Crawley has read out, sorry, I couldn't write that fast. If you could repeat it, thank you.
To repeat it, schedule the ordinary meeting of Council to be held on 26th of June 2017. Tentatively at Taylor's Hill Youth and Community Centre, subject to council determination of the satisfactory nature of that venue following the March meeting. No, that's not quite what I said, is it?
I know.
Peter's written it down.
So, as I have it recorded, Madam Mayor, part two would read, the council schedule the ordinary meeting of council to be held on 26 June 2017, tentatively at Taylor's Hill Youth and Community Centre, or an alternative location or site, should council not determine that site suitable.
Thank you, Mr. Bean, and sorry, Mr. Tory, for putting you on the spot. And number 3, Madam Mayor, officers incorporate into the design of Stage 2 of the Burnside Children's and Community Centre appropriate multifunction space that would facilitate the efficient conduct of council meetings.
Is there a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have great pleasure in seconding the motion. This brings about the inclusion into, I believe the Eastern Corridor sometimes felt alienated over leases.
Speaking to the motion, Madam.
Are you speaking to the motion?
If there is an impediment to locating on that second date, please advise council as soon as possible if it's because of infrastructure needs to relocating other than the Taylor's Hill. The Taylor's Hill Youth and Community Centre.
Okay. So we have a slight amendment to that. Is that what we're calling it, councillor?
Correct, Madam Mayor. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
How are we going to word that?
I
actually have a slight amendment too. I would like to be considered to dot point two. Would you like me to...
Before we amend it, Madam Mayor, we need approval of the mover. But my understanding of what Councillor Hardy has requested is that there be a fourth dot point that probably would be inserted in between items 2 and 3, which says that council be the council's assessment of the suitability of Taylor's Hill Youth and Community Centre be conducted as soon as practicable following the conduct of the meeting on the 6th of March. So that's saying as soon as practicable, we'll make that decision whether it was suitable, and if it was, it goes ahead. If not, we look at an alternate venue.
Are you happy with that incorporation, Councillor Carley?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy with whatever venue it is, just as long as those two dates have ordinary meetings up in the Eastern Corridor, I'm fine. So if we do find that Taylor's Hill Youth Centre isn't a suitable location, but we could find something else, and if councillors do know as soon as possible where we could go, that's fine. But as long as those two dates will be held ordinary council meetings in the Eastern Corridor.
I actually rise because I'd like it to be worded somehow in the second dot point that we're quite prepared to go ahead with the 6th of March 2017, and it was tentatively scheduled for all those reasons, but also the one reason that hasn't been mooted to council satisfaction and the safety of council and also the any participants in the gallery sort of stuff. So, I mean, so people feel comfortable that they're able to come into the chamber and councillors are able to conduct the ordinary business of council within that facility. So is there any wording to that we can utilise?
Point of order, Madam Mayor. Mm-hmm. When you talk about councillors' safety, what's the difference if we were to have a council meeting here? I mean, how do we know that it's not going to be a safe venue or that councillors aren't going to be safe? What's the difference when we come here and we have our ordinary meetings here to say that things can happen here that we're unsafe? Why are we assuming that that's what's going to already occur?
Is that a point of order or is that a question?
No, it's a point of order with your statement. I just don't agree with it. I think it's a bit... it's wrong.
Well, I can only give you the response by the conduct of some of the people in the gallery when we trialled it in Caroline Springs. And I will let history be put on the record. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I seconded this as it was.
No, actually you didn't.
Well, okay, yeah. I was intending to. However, as it was, I'd like to speak against the motion, mm-hmm. if that's okay. This basically says...
Sorry, if we're going to go into debate then, if we then have Councillor Carley and Councillor Hardy, I don't believe my words are going to be incorporated in there.
Doesn't sound like it.
So I will then go into debate and Councillor Hardy... Councillor Carley has the first. So.
Madam Mayor, the reason why this came to council in the first place, and I know my fellow councillors know that I'm very passionate about rotating council meetings, and that was to further engage our community. I know that we are a growing municipality and we are, at the moment, residents in the Eastern Corridor do feel divided. They don't feel connected to this council, which is very sad as an Eastern ward councillor. The reason I thought that this would be a good idea is as we're growing and now we actually have 9 councillors, not 7, is that our residents that elect us can come to a council meeting and see exactly what we do and why they've elected us. Madam Mayor, I don't feel... I did attend the meeting in Caroline Springs and I will disagree with you. I didn't feel unsafe. I believe that perhaps the chairing of the meeting could have been held a little bit better. They were newcomers to the council gallery and I believe that if they were told of what the rules and the procedures were, it would have been a little bit different.
Councillor Carley, please stop the personality attacks. I will take that on note. Thank you.
Well, Madam Mayor, you attacked the Eastern Corridor by already suggesting that
no,
they were going to be...
No, correction, Councillor Carley, please sit down. I said the Caroline Springs meeting was what it was. And
but I'm stating my opinion, Madam Mayor, that I disagree
Thank
with you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Okay, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The point that I wish to have included is about the council officers making the assessment as quickly and appropriately as possible to identify if the Taylor's Hill facility is adequate for all the reasons that have been discussed, and I wasn't around many years ago, and I don't know, and I won't comment. But the bottom line is, if it is not appropriate, therefore the council officers are going to have to go around those other areas, identify what is necessary, get it back to councillors so we can make an assessment. I put to Councillor Carley, this is an improvement with the motion, and I'd ask you to adopt it in the motion without debate. Is that possible?
It has been incorporated.
It has been approved, Councillor Hardy. I'm not debating.
Thank
your
you very
amendment.
Much, Councillor Carley. Yes. So the words that were put to me by Cal were,
Sorry, as I said before, as I haven't recorded, Madam Mayor, the part two is that Council schedule the ordinary meeting of Council to be held on 26 June 2017, tentatively at Taylors Hill Youth and Community Centre, or an alternate site should Council not determine that site suitable.
And the words that we wish to have included were, sorry?
To the effect that council officers undertake or bring back to council an assessment at the earliest opportunity to enable councils to determine on the appropriateness of the venue.
They are quite appropriate words and I agree to those words, Madam Mayor.
Okay, mm-hmm. Councillor Turner.
Thank you very much. We've got a chart in front of us which has gone over every venue that we feel may have been suitable, and there's only one venue suitable, and I believe it is suitable. I don't have a discussion with that. I've got a problem with that. What my problem is the change to the second point that says no matter what happens, basically, we'll find a venue. There might not be a suitable venue. If there's not a suitable venue, we won't find a venue, because it doesn't, on this one doesn't show another venue that's suitable. I believe it will be suitable, but my problem is if for some unknown reason it's not suitable and we don't have a venue in Eastern Corridor, we won't have it. So what? I can't understand the extra addition either one.
So you've had your time. I have told every councillor that they only get to speak once, so any other councillor wish to speak that hasn't spoken as yet? Councillor Bushy.
Madam Mayor, I know that there's a list in here, as Councillor Turner suggested, but just a question to the council officers. Is there any other venue, whether it's council-owned or not, that we can access outside of this list to make an assessment for future purposes?
I believe the only venue really that's outside this list would be the Caroline Springs Leisure Centre, and that's so heavily booked by community users that its availability would be the problem. We've got standing bookings for the season. If, you know, 12 months in advance, you could schedule it, and it's a very big facility. So that would be the only other option, but that would be subject to some degree of notice. But we could do a reassessment of them and maybe do minor modifications that might make them more suitable. It's a bit, crystal balling at this stage.
Anybody else would like to? Councillor Mendez.
Regardless of where the meeting is held, I think the important points we need to consider here are the safety to ourselves, the residents and the council staff. I'd also like to ask the officers how much it's going to cost them to relocate the event to the Eastern Corridor, and that includes audio and all aspects that you have to take down there from this facility.
Through you, Madam Mayor, in response to that question, the main cost is in terms of the audio, and it depends how sophisticated an audio system we use. When we did the first trial at Caroline Springs, total cost was of the order of $4,000, a little bit over $4,000, I think. Relatively small investment, but of course, if it was, I haven't done an assessment of the specifics of the acoustics at Caroline Springs and how much, at Taylors Hill Community and Leisure, but it will be somewhere in that order.
Okay, I actually understand that the Eastern residents feel that way, and I totally agree. And it would be good to have something down there, so I'm actually wondering how long the Stage 2 for Burnside Children's Centre is going to take.
Mr. Heaney is probably a better place to answer that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Mendez, we're designing for that as we speak, and it's due to go to contract towards the latter this year, so it's probably going to be an 8 to 10 month build, so you're talking in excess of 12 to 14 months at least before it's ready.
Okay. Well, I'll reiterate that I still feel, as much as they want to have a meeting down there in the Eastern Corridor, I'm happy to do so. As long as we are all safe, that means the residents, council staff and the councillors. As I wasn't there in Caroline Springs meeting, And I have heard a lot, but I would prefer to go by my own vision. I wasn't there, so I can't really comment. But I just want us all to feel safe, and I think that's something that the Eastern Corridor residents would respect also.
Mm. Any further... Pardon me. Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, I would just like to support... idea of rotation, and I'm strongly for rotation meetings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to express my my belief that we need to rotate council meetings at least for these two events. Whether security is concerned, I wasn't at the meeting that this occurred at, so I can't really comment. But I would assume that council workers and council officers would make sure that there was appropriate security for that, and I'm assuming that would definitely happen. So I'm all for it. Thank you.
Councillor Carley, would you like to sum?
Well, I would. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Firstly, can I say thank you to Councillor Hardy for seconding the notice of motion. And thank you for all the councillors, and I can see that there's some that are for and some that are against, Madam Mayor. But if this does go through, I think it's a huge win for our community, and I think that I'll definitely be looking forward to these two council meetings and many more to be held in the Eastern Corridor. So thank you.
Thank you. Before us, we have a motion that's been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Hardy. I'll now go to the vote. Anyone against? Actually, I'll vote against it too. And to save the division being called, I'll call it. All those in favour? Okay. All those against? Councillor Turner, Councillor Ramsey. All those for? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Ibushi. The motion's carried. Okay. 12.5. The draft community vision, Melton City 2036, the city we welcome. Imagine, sorry. See, I need my glasses on a good day. Okay, Mr. Heaney to report to this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this is about obviously a proposed draft community vision. As we're growing very fast, and then to enable appropriate and relevant planning and programming delivery and decision making, a number of strategic documents are currently being prepared, and they are documents like the Melton City 2036, the city we imagine, which is the one we'll be discussing this evening. Of course, the council plan, which will integrate the municipal public health and wellbeing plan, and the MSS, so the Melton, the municipal strategic statement, which is known as the MSS. Melton City 2036, titled The City We Imagine, will be the first of these strategic documents to be completed and provides a foundation for the council plan, the Municipal Public and Health and Wellbeing Plan, and of course the MSS, and other strategic and plans and documents that we establish up to 2036. The city we imagine has been designed and facilitated by council officers. However, the words and sentiments are solely informed by the input from the community and, of course, the residents within the community. That's the most important part. If we could just talk about the development of the Melton City 2036, the city we imagine. The engagement process was developed to better understand what the community values, their hopes, their aspirations, the future, and of course what they're able to identify in the municipality or what could be potentially improved or protected. Phase one was an engagement process that commenced back in April 2016. That was via a series of My City, My Say events during the conversation events in the smaller townships, and these locations of these events were included in the report and were Rockbank, Diggers Rest, Toolinvale and Ainsbury. Following these, a whole municipality campaign was launched. Anyone who lives, works, studies, recreates or visits Melton City was able to invite and, of course, participate. And that was via a short survey, on a postcard or online. Community members were asked the following questions, and they're on page 137. They were very important questions. Were, what do you love about the City of Melton? What don't you like about the City of Melton? What are your hopes with the City of Melton in 20 years' time? And what needs to happen for these hopes to become a reality? There's some answers, I suppose, and descriptions on the bottom of page 137, so there was great feedback from the community. Phase two were broken down to small working groups, if you like. And more than 2,000 community members have contributed to this document via their say. In the City We Imagine, which was first community vision for the City of Melton, highlights opportunities and challenges for the municipality. It puts our people first, embedding them in all the heart of the vision, and they were surrounded by four domains, which were our safe and socially connected city, our well-built city, our strong local economy, our thriving natural environment. At the bottom of page 139, councillors, it gives you a summary of all the feedback, and it quoted earlier over 2,000, it was actually 2,226, I believe, that participated in this whole process of this documentation, and they're outlined at the bottom of page 139. So I think it's been a great engagement process from the officers, but most importantly the community, to have their say. It's a draft document, councillors. So we're seeking tonight the recommendations on page 136, and that is that council note the draft community vision, Melton City 2036, the city we imagine, as presented, of course, at Appendix 1, and the document be placed on public exhibition. Post that exhibition period, the final document will be presented for council for its endorsement. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Now, can I just ask a question of the gallery? Could we hear Mr. Heaney's report loudly and clearly? Because we had some issues with both, but they're fine now. Can I see someone nod? Thank you. Okay. Thank you for that interactive moment. Okay. 12.5. Does any councillor seek further clarification on the City Reimagine? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I rise to congratulate the officers in drafting up this report, and I move the following. Council note the draft Community Vision, Melton City 2036 document. The City We Imagine, as presented in Appendix 1, and that the document be placed on public exhibition. Point two, post the exhibition period, the final document be presented to Council for endorsement. I so move.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that motion.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Motion before us. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion? The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Planning permit PA 2014/445/6, the extension of time to a permit for the telecommunications facility at 115 Tenterfield Drive, Burnside Heights, Burnside Heights Recreation Reserve. Mr. Bob Baggio to present.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In basic terms, in December 2014, the Council issued a planning permit for a telecommunication facility, which essentially comprised a 25-metre high monopole in the southeastern corner of the main oval at the Burnside Heights Recreation Reserve. That permit wasn't acted upon, and it subsequently expired in December 2016, and the applicant has made an application requesting that the permit time be extended by a further 2 years. it should be noted by council that an earlier planning permit was issued at the direction of VCAT in April 2011 for a similar proposal. However, that particular permit expired and no extension of time was requested for that permit at the time. So in terms of this proposal, before council to extend the time of the current permit, it's not subject to notification given that the proposal is for an extension of a pre-existing permit. However, it should be noted by council that when the application was first determined and the permit issued in 2014, it was extensively advertised by sending 87 letters to adjoining landowners and occupiers, placing a number of signs on the land, and also placing a public notice in the local newspaper. Public notice was also given to the relevant sporting clubs which occupy the reserve, being the Burnside Heights Football Club and the Burnside Springs Cricket Club. So in response to that notification, there were two objections that were received, essentially based on health-type grounds, including one from the Coral Creek Primary School, which is located opposite the reserve. However, it was determined that the permit should be issued owing to the application's compliance with the relevant Australian standards and relevant planning policies. So, although it should be noted by council that this is not a new application, as it's essentially a request for an extension of time, it's considered to be nevertheless instructive to assess the proposed facility against the principles which are contained in the relevant code of practice for telecommunication facilities, which is an incorporated document in the planning scheme. And I guess it's noted that the proposed monopole is located on the southern side of the main oval, as far as practical from surrounding houses and the adjoining primary school. It's basically sited about 280 metres from the primary school, about 180 metres from houses to the north, and about 330 metres from houses to the west. And while the facility will no doubt be visible from surrounding urban areas, it's considered that no views to significant vistas or landscape features are unreasonably compromised by the proposal. It's also noted that the facility provides for both Optus and Vodafone for a joint venture arrangement. And it's generally acknowledged that council reserves are becoming the main focus for new telecommunication facilities in the Eastern Corridor, given that most existing development comprises residential areas, with the exception of shopping and commercial areas. Council has previously supported these facilities in the larger open space reserves, where amenity issues to surrounding sensitive uses can be minimised. It's also noted that the proposal will be designed and installed to satisfy the relevant radiation protection standards which are prescribed by the Commonwealth Government. So, Madam Mayor, it's therefore recommended that the permit be extended as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to propose that we consider further consultation with the community.
So you're moving an alternate?
Yes.
Can I just ask if there's anyone with a question before you move into that? No one's got a question? Okay, Councillor Bushy, sorry.
The alternate motion for planning permit PA2014/4460, extension of the time to a permit for telecommunications facilities at the Burnside Heights Recreation Reserve, that council defer consideration of this report until such time as council has informally notified surrounding landowners and occupiers of the request to extend the time of the permit and enable submissions to be made by potentially affected people.
Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Bushy. Is there a seconder for that motion?
Madam Mayor, I would like to second this motion.
Councillor Kesich. The motion's been moved by... I went past clarification, but yes, I will... Okay, you can seek clarification on this one, Councillor Turner. You can. I'll let...
Ask Paul Badgio what was done in the past to advertise. I mean, has this been done or is this new? Did we go to this trouble last time, Mr. Badgio?
For you, Madam Mayor, when the application was advertised back in... or when the application and permit were issued back in 2014, the application was advertised, as I mentioned in the report, fairly extensively to all of the adjoining and abutting landowners and occupiers in the area, including a number of signs on the land and also a public notice in the local newspaper. And that generated two objections to the application at the time.
Thank you. Are you happy with the response, Councillor Turner?
Happy with the response.
Any other clarification sought on what's before it, the motion that's before us now? Can I just ask, would this delay the process or... it's obviously going to delay the lease signing, which is later in the agenda, but... will that delay the process and create any costs or any burden on anybody? The timeframe will allow for that
month? Through you, Madam Mayor, it will obviously delay the consideration of the proposal, the determination of the proposal. I anticipate that by the time the correspondence goes out to the surrounding property owners, and they're given, say, 14 days to respond, it's probably going to delay the process by about a month or so.
And the costs to council are just nominal?
That's correct, yes. There's no cost to council apart from staff time, essentially.
Fantastic. Okay. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion? Councillor Carley,
Madam
please. Mayor. Sorry, I have to ask Councillor Kesich if he would like to. Right, Councillor Bushy first. Sorry, that's who I meant. I was looking at Councillor Bushy. Would you like to speak?
Just briefly. I actually went and spoke to some of the residents in the area about this, and. I think there was a bit of acknowledgement that, well, firstly, a few of them said, I know nothing about, which isn't a surprise, given the level of engagement. But I did speak to a few there that appreciated or would like an opportunity to view the proposal again as it stands.
Fantastic. Councillor Carley, are you dissenting from the motion?
No, Madam Mayor. Councillor
Kesich?
No, I just wanted to say...
No, I just need to know if you're dissenting from the motion. So you're going against it?
No, I'm not going against it.
Okay, now I need Councillor Kesich. Would you like to speak?
No, Madam Mayor, I'll pass.
Thank you. Councillor Carley, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to say well done to Councillor Bushy and Councillor Kesich. I think anything that has to do with telecommunications, and we've seen this on this council when other telecommunications applications have come before us, but I know that this is not a new application, but I just want to say community consultation is a must when there's anything that has to do with any monopoles, telecommunication poles being put anywhere. So well done.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Any other councillor wish to speak to the motion before us? The motion before us again has been moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those for the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. We'll move on to 12.7. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm starting to get a little bit warm.
Yes.
Okay, we have the planning application PA 2016/5303/1, use and development of the land for the sale of Christmas decorations and Christmas theme products market. with associated car parking in conjunction with the Melton Christmas Tree Farm at 319391 Leakes Road, Plumpton. And Mr. Badgers to present this. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This land essentially has an area of, it comprises two adjoining lots with an area of about 84 hectares, which is located on the eastern side of Leakes Road in Plumpton, about a kilometre north of the Melton Highway and the Melton Tourist Precinct. The front portion of the land currently contains two large sheds, and the remainder of the land essentially is used for the farming of or the growing of Christmas trees. And I believe there's also a section of the land that's used for the growing of bok choy. So the application before council is essentially to use one of those sheds for the sale of Christmas decorations and Christmas-themed products in conjunction with the Christmas tree farm. So the use will occupy an existing shed which is located near the southern boundary of the subject land, or the red shed. There's two sheds, one that's red and one that's green. That shed has an area of 648 square metres, and it's proposed that a total of 31 market stalls be set up within the existing building. The market is to be held once a week on Sundays between the months of September and December each year, and the hours of operation are proposed to be 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Two food vendors and a coffee vendor are also proposed to be set up in proximity, and there's also a large existing gravel car park at the front of the site at the moment, which has capacity for up to about 100 car parking spaces. So the application was advertised to the surrounding landowners and occupiers, and in response the council received 5 objections to the application. The grounds of objection were around concerns with traffic and safety issues on Leakes Road and the Melton Highway due to the additional traffic that would be using or generated by the use. It's also considered that there'd be unreasonable impacts on nearby properties such as noise, rubbish and vehicle activity. There was concern about that the hours of operation hadn't been clearly stated, concerns about gravel and mud being deposited on the road, loss of property values, and generally concerns that it would affect the amenity of the surrounding area. So it's worth noting that, I guess as a background, that council has previously considered two planning applications to develop the subject land for the purposes of the market. The first application was for a farmer's market with 146 market stalls and a trout farm. Council resolved in March 2011 to refuse that application on the grounds that it was considered to be inconsistent with the planning scheme. The second application also proposed a farmer's market, and that was reduced down significantly to 58 market stalls. Council actually resolved in September 2012 to support that application. However, the objectors took it to VCAT and were successful at VCAT. So the market that's proposed as part of this application is obviously different because it's not a farmer's market. It's, I guess you'd call it a Christmas market. It's in terms of its size and scale, it's much smaller than what was previously proposed. So I guess just in terms of comments from council's internal departments, it's worth noting that council's engineering department has essentially indicated that if a permit is to issue, then additional works will be required on Leakes Road in particular. And that would be in the form of an intersection treatment, an upgrade of Leakes Road adjacent to the front of the site with left and right turn treatments. into the site. Essentially, from an officer perspective, notwithstanding the objections that have been received, it's considered that the proposal is unlikely to cause any adverse impacts on the amenity of adjacent or surrounding properties in terms of noise, rubbish and vehicle activity. And also it's considered that the proposal will generally complement the existing rural living and agricultural uses and activities which are occurring on adjacent and surrounding properties in the area. So therefore, Madam Mayor, from an officer perspective, we recommend that the application be supported, subject to compliance with fairly stringent conditions that have been proposed in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any council seek clarification? Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Bob, how long has the Christmas tree market on the same site been running?
I don't know exactly roughly how long it's been running for, but I believe it's roughly about 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years, and over the Christmas period, there's quite a lot of traffic coming in and out, probably the same amount of traffic as will be created by this market.
It's hard to say. I mean, if the people attending the site to purchase a Christmas tree are also looking at the decorations in the market, then it's probably not going to be a significant increase. But even the applicant himself acknowledges that there will be an increase in.
There'll be an increase, yes. Yeah. But over the period of time, not necessarily on any one day.
That's
I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yep. So the basic traffic difference is going to be negligible, I would expect.
Yeah.
And there's ample parking on site for the number of sites. Well, the number of people expect to come to the market.
Well, I wouldn't say the additional car parking will be negligible, because that's been assessed by the council's engineers in terms of, you know, likely traffic that might be generated by the use. And there's a recommendation there that on that basis, then additional...
Yes, they have plenty of site to do that. That wouldn't be external to their site. The extra parking wouldn't be external to the site.
No, that'll be on the site.
Trouble the neighbours, because it'll be on site, it won't be on Leakes Road,
yeah,
or it won't be on neighbours' properties, it'll be on their own site.
We wouldn't expect that there'd be the car park, I think, is large enough to accommodate.
Yep.
The car parking generated by the use and any potential overflow parking that might be generated.
And the bonus coming out of this would be that would trigger council to improve that deadly junction. It is a bad junction. At certain times of the day, no matter whether the market's on or not. And so if this market went ahead, it would trigger, hopefully, engineering to improve that junction, which is a really bad junction anyway, any time of the year, as was in your statement, correct?
At the front of the site?
No, at the junction with Leakes Road and Melton Highway.
Right, okay.
I think you said in your statement that it would trigger improvement on that junction.
I don't think that would be a trigger for intersectional works at that particular intersection.
In any event, it's
a Vic Roads responsibility to upgrade that
intersection. Sorry, Councillor, what you heard was it'll trigger some improvements at the front of that site.
Okay, thank you. I'm missing
on that. Okay. Councillor Hardy and then Councillor Carlick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. From my understanding, this is a Christmas market. It has 80 to 100 car spaces which are not line marked. It doesn't have adequacy of toilet facilities or other facilities on site. There is a need to do extensive road surfacing to entrance and exit the site. Are we saying prior to operational, these permit conditions are mandatory prior to operation?
You, Madam Mayor, essentially that's correct. The intersectional works that I mentioned are a condition of the planning permit that would need to be completed prior to the use commencing. In terms of the car park, given the rural sort of nature of the area, generally speaking, it wouldn't be a requirement of council to completely, you know, seal the car park to an urban standard. But there would be a requirement, or there is a requirement in the proposed approval, that relates to essentially addressing any potholes, so resurfacing the car park with gravel, and also having some sort of indication delineating the car parking spaces and the access ways.
To and from the site. Yeah. What the other issues are, the adequacy of toilets and facilities to the site, would they be conditional to the permit?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'm not aware that that's a condition of the planning permit, but if the council wished to include that as a condition, that could be possible.
Okay. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on page 171, it says that the first application that was put in was for 146 market stalls. So we've gone from 146 down to 58, and now we've gone to 31. Is there anything that's actually stopping these landowners from putting in another permit further or another application further down the track to say, okay, well, we've got 31, you know, let's add a couple more and make it 58 or 146? Is there anything that stops them from doing that, or they're able to do that?
I feel you, Madam Mayor, they would be able to lodge a new application or seek an amendment to the existing permit to increase the number of stalls, but that would have to be considered by council, you know, following notification of the application to the surrounding neighbours.
Okay, is there any further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I have an alternate recommendation, if I may read that.
I actually asked if there was a mover for the recommendation.
Not the council officer's recommendation, no, Madam Mayor.
Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to meet it, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I second that. I'd also like that amendment as put that the adequacy of toilet facilities be added to the permit condition.
Is there a... So we're making an amendment to the motion. Is the mover happy to incorporate that? Yes. And you've got the words to that? Okay.
Madam Mayor, the wording currently is plus the adequacy of toilet facilities be added as a condition on the permit.
Madam Mayor, those words are adequate.
Okay. And there's an alternate if this one isn't successful. So would anyone... The motion's been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Hardy. There is a slight amendment which the mover has agreed to. Does anyone want to speak to this motion? No one wants to speak to it? Are you sure?
No. Yes, Madam
Mayor. No, hang on. Yeah. Councillor Turner, would you like to reserve this?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor. This facility, right, is already in place. This facility does not have adequacy of planning, traffic, access and egress, car parking and toilet facilities as described.
Mm-hmm.
If we agree, we're bringing this into the 21st century, and it will operate as a market which is sorely needed within the community. I look to the business modelling, and for this to operate, these people will have to put hundreds of thousands of dollars of currency to make this work prior to operational. So there's no exposure here. It is just a bonus for the community. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Okay, Councillor Carley.
Thank you.
This replaces debate.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move an amendment to the recommendation, if I may, Madam Mayor.
Can I hear the amendment?
Yep. The council issue a notice of refusal to grant a permit on the following grounds.
Sorry, Councillor Carley, that goes in complete opposition to the motion that we've got. You cannot... If this fails, we will then go to yours. But you can foreshadow... An alternative or an amendment can't be an exact opposite of what's before us.
Okay.
Please, would you like to speak against the motion?
Madam Mayor, I would like to speak against the motion that's before us. I've actually spoken to two out of the five residents that have objected to this and listened to how this is going to impact their properties. The actual residents that have actually put in this planning application don't actually live at this property. This is, I don't know, would you call it like a, I don't know what kind of farm, would it be a hobby farm for them? Is that what you would consider this as? I'm not too sure, but they don't live at the property. They just have the Christmas tree farm. As Councillor Hardy said, that the market is in place. It's actually not in place at the moment. I've gone out onto the site and I've spoken to the residents who are putting in this application. I strongly believe that this will cause traffic and safety issues on Leakes Road and Melton Highway. But, Madam Mayor, I'm more than happy to go into a debate after I put my alternate if the original recommendation does not go through, but I don't support the original.
That was your chance at debate. Anyone else would like to speak for or against the motion?
Madam Mayor, I would like just to add that this is a registered business and also a few workers over there, so I think we should give them a chance.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Okay, Councillor Mendes, sorry, I didn't think you...
I'm actually going to support Councillor Lara Carley for the simple reason that both of us visited that site, and in the time that we were at that site, we had a lot of variations on answers to our questions. The second shed to the far right of the premises currently isn't being used, and I'm concerned that it will end up being more market stalls. When questioned about the adequacy of the parking, because it's gravel stones at the moment, they weren't very clear on what they were going to do to assist in car parking. There are no line markings. They basically suggested they'll come in one gate and go out the other, and they'll park wherever. There was no suggestion of parking attendants being in place on the day. And to get out of that facility, I understand it wasn't on a weekend and it was a weekday, but to come back to Melton, it took me over 10 to 15 minutes to be able to turn safely back to head towards the Melton area. I would be concerned about resident safety turning onto the Melton Highway to head back towards Melton. You've got much more ease of access to Melton Highway if you turn left. However, anyone coming the other way would be, and we have had fatalities at that intersection, would be at risk. I don't know what the difference in volume of traffic is between a weekday and a weekend. However, there is still substantial traffic on weekends. And considering that some of our residents, unfortunately, have in the past lost their lives, I would be extremely saddened if we made a decision tonight where we put any of our residents at risk. And I think these applicants have a lot more to consider prior to our application being allowed to succeed.
Any further? I'd actually like to speak and then I will give you your right of reply, Councillor Turner. I just want to speak to the motion before us. It's been moved by Councillor Turner and seconded by Councillor Hardy. This has been a long standing. The market has been there for 20 years and not an incident has occurred in that 20 years. The Christmas tree, what I class as the market being the Christmas trees, it is economic development into our municipality. When you look at Melton South or Melton City, much more, we look at diversity, and they have been trying to get a market of some description off the ground, hence why they are more than, they've come to council on more than one occasion to try and appease council and council.
Point of order, sorry, Madam Mayor. When you said you clarify a market, or you said you clarified
the Christmas
trees. So selling Christmas trees you consider to be a market, is that
well,
what?
Well, I class it as a market.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's what I did.
Now they've gone, that's their business, and yes, you're right, Councillor Carly, there is no house on that, but there's businesses in the Windmill and Galley and Witchmount, and there are no houses on those either. At the end of the day, I was told by a councillor that the family lived in Faulkner, weren't even residents. Well, the two sons live in Hillside, and yes, they are residents. I also was told that it takes a long time to get out of that intersection, and it is a bad intersection. And I, for the life of me, don't want to see anyone lose their life. But I also want to lobby the state government to duplicate that and make it a lot safer. And the way we can do that is by our growth corridor just getting bigger and better. And at the end of the day, when I went down there on three Sundays in a row, and it took me a matter of seconds, I spoke to a number of different residents and shopkeepers around the area, or storeholders around the area, and they all told me that Sundays are very, very quiet. You wouldn't go there because of the woodly traffic during the week, but on a Sunday it would generate some activity in the area, and they all thought it was a great thing. So having said that, I'll now resume my seat. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just feel it's unfair to restrict this business. They've been trying for years. We've had a few things come through council, things that we've supported in the past, which has been rejected elsewhere. They've reduced them, what they class as their market, time and time again, to try and get something happening on that land. It's a business, they're trying to make some money, and I just feel that we're being unfair if we reject this. Considering they've jumped through hoops over the years to try and make it work, and our officers initially have supported this as well. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The debate has now finished. We'll go to the vote. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Hardy. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against? Okay, as there is a split straight down the middle, four for it, four against it, the Mayor will vote with the officer's recommendation and approve, carry the motion.
Madam Mayor, I'll call for a division, if I may. And I know we're doing things a little bit differently today, but do I still have a chance to read out my alternate motion, whether it's lost or not?
No, sorry. Okay. The motion's carried.
I'll call for a division.
Okay, a division has been called. 12.7, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Hardy. All those in favour? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich. All those against? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes and Councillor Ibushi. With the Mayor to cast in the affirmative to carry. Motion's carried. Declared. Okay, we will now move on to 12.8. Amendment C171 to the Planning Amendment Scheme, the Retail Activity Centres Strategy Amendments, and Ms Mellon to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is for Council to consider submissions that were received during the exhibition period for Amendment C171, which seeks to implement the recommendations of the adopted Melton Retail and Activity Centre Strategy into the Melton Planning Scheme. The Melton Retail and Activity Centre strategy was adopted by Council at its ordinary meeting of the 1st of April in 2014 and is underpinned by strong economic planning and urban design analysis. It provides a robust policy framework to guide the future development of activity centres to support the long-term integrated land use planning and delivery of a hierarchy of retail and activity centres, so in other words, town centres, across the municipality. At the ordinary meeting of the 10th of November 2015, Council resolved to prepare and exhibit Amendment C171 to the Melton Planning Scheme to implement the recommendations of that adopted strategy. Following this resolution, Council officers sought authorisation from the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning to commence the amendment on the 6th of July 2016, which was granted, and the amendment was publicly exhibited for a four-week period during the 11th of August 2016 to the 8th of September 2016, and the amendment documents are contained in Appendix 4 to this report. Letters were sent to directly affected landowners and occupiers, adjoining councils, government bodies and agencies who may be materially affected by the amendment, as well as prescribed ministers. Notices were also placed in the local newspaper, the Government Gazette, and posted on both State Government and Council's website to advise that the amendment was available for comment. A total of 12 submissions were received in response to the amendment. Appendix 5 shows the location of those submitters where it's possible to provide an address. On the 13th of December 2016, Council officers provided a response to the submitters' objections and revised clauses 2105, 2206, 2106 and 2206 in attempt to resolve a number of objections, and these are contained at Appendix 6. At the time of writing of this report, there are ongoing negotiations to try and resolve outstanding issues, but the status of the submissions are as follows. 4 submissions are in support of the amendment, 2 submissions have been withdrawn, and 6 submissions are in objection to the amendment. A summary of the outstanding issues of the submitters and council officers' responses are outlined in the table of Section 5 of this report and provided in detail in Appendix 2 to the report. The outstanding issues generally relate to issues of permitted uses within the commercial zones, which is outside the scope of this amendment, the inclusion of new centres within council's hierarchy with limited or no strategic justification, the elevation of existing centres in the hierarchy, and the introduction of targets for non-retail uses, and finally, too much land for restricted retail or the need to include more land for restricted retail. Council officers do not consider that any further changes should be made to the amendment documentation based on the information provided by the outstanding submissions. The amendment is required to provide appropriate strategic policy direction in the Melton Planning Scheme to assess proposals in town centres, to update existing outdated clauses within the Melton Planning Scheme, and to support the implementation of state planning policy, which is outlined in Section 2 of the report. It is therefore considered appropriate to refer the outstanding issues to an independent planning panel, which will provide an opportunity for all parties to be heard. And it is therefore recommended that Council 1 request the Minister for Planning to establish an independent planning panel to consider unresolved submissions received in response to Amendment C171 in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act, and 2 authorise the General Manager of Planning and Development to negotiate and resolve issues that are raised during this planning process prior to the amendment being reported back to Council for consideration. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I wish to move the motion that the adoption council request the Minister for Planning establish an independent planning panel consider unresolved submissions received in response to the amendment C171 in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act 1987.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I don't wish to second it, but if I could just ask a question in regards to page 195.
I did ask for clarification.
Yes, sorry, Madam Mayor, but Councillor Hardy jumped up pretty quick, so it's not like you asked twice.
No.
190, page 195, GOPEC, the submitter. This is in regards to Chisholm House. I just want to know how this notice of motion, the recommendation is approved, how that actually affects that development. Because as I understand, is that the development that's just at the front of Caroline Springs, as you turn in, so opposite Hungry Jack's on Ballarat Road, yes? So how would this affect them or what they're proposing to do? Because something definitely needs to be done at that site.
So through you, Madam Mayor, the strategy actually deals with neighbourhood activity centres, which are larger centres and town centres. It does provide some discretion for Council to consider local convenience centres, which I understand the proposal for Chisholm House would fall within in terms of the retail component of it, as long as they provide justification for why they want to provide that. So the submission that's been made is in relation to looking for a neighbourhood activity centre on that site, that there's no justification being provided for at this point, which is slightly larger than the application that's before council officers at the moment, as I understand it, and also trying to include some uses that are not actually permitted within the zone, which is not really within the scope of the amendment because we have to look at the commercial zones.
Thank you. So Councillor Hardy has moved the motion before us. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I would like to second the motion.
Motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to speak to the motion.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This area defines Melton. It's the entrance, the gateway to Melton, and it needs to be identified as such. And it needs to be underpinned by strong economic growth and also good planning framework where everybody understands what is required for this to be a focus area to sell Melton. Mm-hmm. So I recommend this strongly to councillors. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Does any other councillor wish to speak to the motion? We'll go to, if that's the end of debate or discussion, we will go to the vote. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. 12.9, Melton Highway status of future upgrade. And I believe Mr. Shannon's to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report provides an update to Council regarding the future duplication of the Melton Highway by Vic Roads. Councillors will be well aware that the Melton Highway is a significant road within the municipality and is under significant pressure in terms of traffic volumes, and that will continue to increase as the municipality continues to grow, particularly when the Plumpton Precinct Structure Plan is approved, likely to be later this year. Madam Mayor, the report sets out the current situation in terms of Vic Roads planning on the future upgrade of the Melton Highway, which I'll briefly summarise. It's pleasing that Vic Roads have now completed what's known as a preliminary planning study for the duplication of the highway effectively between Hillside and Federation Drive in the Melton Township. The purpose of the study that they've done is basically, firstly, to establish whether the existing road reservation, which is quite wide, is actually capable of catering for the future development of the highway, which will ultimately be three lanes in each direction, and that has been determined to be the case. Also to look at initial concept designs for perhaps the most tricky part of the upgrade of the Melton Highway over the Coleroy Creek, which is a difficult location given the alignment of the existing road, and that in time will need to be realigned, which would ultimately require Vic Roads to acquire part of the number of properties. Madam Mayor, the next steps in the process is for Vic Roads to undertake a formal planning investigation, and that obviously then starts to get into more detail, looks at the environmental constraints that might apply and looks at all the options available. That's particularly relevant in terms of, for relevant to council in terms of the staging of any upgrade. It's unlikely that the upgrade would occur in one go given the scale of the project. However, it can quite easily be broken down into smaller stages. And I would suspect that the highest priority in the first instance would likely be the intersection of Leach Road and the Melton Highway, which is already experiencing significant pressure and was discussed in an earlier item. Once that formal planning investigation has occurred, Vic Roads would need to undertake the development of a strategic assessment and a business case, which would ultimately go before the State Government, Department of Treasury and Finance, and that then goes into much more details in terms of an ultimate business case. So, Madam Mayor, there's still quite a bit of work to be done by Vic Roads, but it's very pleasing that the process is at least underway, and it's recommended that Council continue to advocate to the Minister for Roads and local MPs in terms of the urgent need for improvements to this road. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any council seek clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor.
I was actually going to wonder why Councillor Mendes didn't rise to her feet, saying it was her notice of motion. Councillor Bushy has moved the recommendation. Have we got a seconder for the motion?
Through you, Madam Mayor, now that it's not a race, I'll have you to second that motion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, it's not necessarily who talks, it's who stands. Anybody can be saying the words.
The answer is it's who the chair recognises.
The actual answer is who the chair recognises.
Yeah,
I understand that. Okay, the motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Bushy, and I still wrote it down wrong. Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion? No? No discussion? Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, 12.10, Thrice Lane and Gloaming Ride, Kurrinjung, through traffic review. Mr. Shannon to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is provided to Council in response to a notice of motion from the December 2016 ordinary meeting of Council, where Council effectively sought an update in relation to the status of this long-standing issue. Council will be aware that this matter goes back quite a number of years, and the report goes into a fair bit of detail that I'll just quickly skim over, but just in terms of the highlights, in 1986, Gloaming Ride and Thrice Lane was closed by the council of the day, and that affected, in essence, what was then a rural residential subdivision on the far extremities of the Melton Township, and that's obviously a slightly different situation in terms of the more recent growth. In 2001, Council undertook a local area traffic management study of the Kurrinjung precinct, or suburb if you like, and that identified a number of improvements to the road network in that location to try and help improve on traffic flows, particularly around the schools. A significant number of those works have been completed, with the exception of the opening of the road in question, which was contemplated at that time in terms of a budget allocation. In 2009, Council embarked on a significant community consultation process, and at that time, as a culmination of that process, Council determined that it would open Thrice Lane and Gloaming Ride after the completion of the duplication of Centenary Avenue. And that duplication has obviously occurred in recent years. Most recently, in 2016, Council considered a petition from 435 residents seeking the reopening of the road. At that time, as detailed on page 263, Council resolved to retain the existing arrangements, in other words, to keep the roads closed, but also sought for Council's engineers to undertake a more detailed cost assessment of the costs associated with opening the road. Madam Mayor, on page 264 of the officer's report, there's details provided of the engineering assessment in terms of what it would actually cost Council should it choose to open the road. The costs are not insignificant, totalling around about $3.4 million. And the reason for that are detailed in the report, which I'll quickly summarise, but the length of road in question is in the order of 1.2 kilometres, so it's a significant length of road, which is really a country-style constructed road. There's no curb and channel. It's a shallow pavement. And there would be significant works required, as detailed in the report, to bring that to an urban standard, which would be necessary if it became a through thoroughfare. Madam Mayor, in section 7 of the report, there's specific details provided in terms of the benefits and the options of opening Gloaming Ride and Thrice Lane. It also, though, goes on to talk about the adverse effects. The benefits, I guess, in a broad sense, would be there's no doubt it would improve traffic flows in the area, particularly during school peak times, and provide an improved public transport network. On the flip side, however, the roads have been closed for a long time, and the community expectation, or certainly many of the residents in that specific location, are that it would remain closed and therefore their current level of amenity would be preserved. Madam Mayor, I guess one of the major considerations is the cost associated with the work. As I've said, it's in the order of $3.4 million. In terms of priorities for other competing capital works in our program, I'd suggest it's not particularly high relative to some other significant projects that Council has on its books for the forthcoming years. The street network, whilst you might enclose the road if we had a choice in this day and age, the fact is it's been closed for many years and it does function, albeit during school peak times there is some immediate issues which quickly dissipate. So on balance, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that the status quo remain and that the roads remain closed to through traffic. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor seek clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I would like to move recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Is there a seconder for the motion before us?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to second the motion.
Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion? Well, this is the time. No, so we will now go to Councillor Kesich. Would you like to reserve your right to speak? If there is a debate, then we go. Would you reserve? Councillor Mendes? Councillor Turner?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This has been a thorn in my side since I come on the council. In 2009, I was completely against it, and we won. We did stop opening. However, the decision at that time was to open it, and in hindsight, because of the traffic problems up there, I feel we made the wrong decision. Although there was a 223 decision made that would be reopened when Centenary Avenue was completed to Palmerston. It's not only been completed to Palmerston, it's been completed to Kanjang Drive. And that's where the problem is, mostly at Kanjang Drive. Mm. All I could say is if we can't open this, we need to open up Kanjang Drive. The impact on would be to open it up would be the fact that we could improve the transport system within the centre of Melton. It's a link that the transport system needs, I believe. It's a much needed link throughout Melton. I mean, it's probably the only central district in Melton that has a rural road, I think. And we're speaking about the cost, yeah, $3.4 million. I think it was half of that in 2009. And then in 4 years' time or 8 years' time, it'll be twice that again. I'm not saying open it now, I'm saying make a decision to open it when we can afford it. We know we're under strict budget rules at present, but I'm sure it's a case of priorities. And if it's decided to open it, doesn't mean we're going to open it next week. It means we're going to open it when we can afford to open it, in priority order, obviously. And I think, apart from opening that, we should consult with existing residents in Thrice and Gloaming, because Councillor Ramsey, no, there's a lot of new residents in Thrice and Gloaming, Madam Mayor, even Madam Mayor. But yeah, look, I just feel it's time. It's a link we need. It's much needed, and it would improve the traffic system and improve the safety in that area as well. Thank you.
Does any other councillor wish to speak? Actually, I'll rise really quickly. I do, in part, agree with Councillor Turner. There was a trigger once Centenary was duplicated to a certain point, it would. And I didn't agree with that point. And yes, it's the only
development or estate without a bus route and stuff along that line. If we look at the motion that is currently on the books, it is to reopen it. If you forget about the trigger point, it will go under the list of priorities, so it's already there. At the moment, all we're doing is dirtying the waters by saying not to reopen. The one that was on prior to your notice of motion always had it to be opened at some point. Now all of a sudden this recommendation is different, so it's muddying the waters a little bit. So if we were to go ahead with not reopening Thrice through to vehicle traffic, would that be now or would it still remain on our list of priorities, or would it just be taken off and be permanently closed? Sorry.
Through you, Madam Mayor, if Council adopts the recommendation as is, it would be removed from our long-term capital works program. Conversely, if Council remain committed to its opening, it would be on our long-term program, but based on competing priorities. So it might be some use app, but it would be on the list.
Councillor Hardy. Oh, sorry.
Doesn't permanently close it. Do you want me to answer that?
Yes, please.
Just to add to Mr. Shannon's response, Madam Mayor, it does not permanently close it. That takes a formal council resolution, a formal process. This is merely about reopening a temporary closure, which is the provision under which it was closed.
Okay, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I rise to speak in support of the reopening of the temporary closure on the two fronts. One is, we've come out of the rural zone, we are in metropolitan zone, and I don't think Melton requires a major thoroughfare to be actually cut off in the middle, regardless. And the second point is, the residents are not to foot any part of the bill, as I have been advised. Is that still the statement, that the road, paving and stormwater will be footed by council? With no cost to the community?
Through you, Madam Mayor, there would be no special charge likely. In other words, the cost would come from the council's general rate budget.
Well, I see no loss to the community. Thank you.
Okay. To clear up any debate there is, if we were to write, and I need Mr. Shannon and Mr. Tory's understanding with this, the council not reopen Glowing Ride and Thrice Lane to through vehicle traffic at present, would that still remain on the priorities listing but not open it today? And not permanently close it either, or not take it off our priority listing?
That would be my understanding or interpretation, Madam Mayor, because it would still, Council's previous resolution was that it be reopened at a point in time post the duplication of Centenary Avenue, and there would be nothing in this motion that would undo that if it did have the words at present. However, if it remains as worded and debated, it does take it off the capital works list because it's no longer a project of council to reopen it. But that said, it does not permanently close it, and council could at any time consider a motion to reopen it, to construct it, to downgrade it, to whatever it.
Okay. So if I go, does any other councillor wish to speak that hasn't spoken already?
Madam Mayor, just concerned with the costs if we live another 2, 3, 4 years. It'll go double or triple.
At the moment, the motion before us, which I'm more than happy with, is that council not reopen Glumming Ride and Thrice Lane to through vehicle traffic at present.
So be it.
Oh, well, I would like to move it with the words at present on the end, with your permission and that of Councillor Mendez's. No? Okay. I think we're just going to have to close the and take a vote.
So have any mover and seconder have agreed to that?
Have you agreed to at present?
Yes.
No, the mover?
Yes.
Seconder? Thank you. Okay, so the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Mendes. It reads that Council not reopen Gloaming Ride and Thrice Lane 2 through vehicle traffic at present. All those in favour...
Madam Mayor, I think I still have a chance to talk as a mover of the motion. I just talked at the beginning, I haven't talked since.
No, you didn't move it, did it? Councillor Kesich did. You opposed it.
It wasn't Kesich, it was...
No, it was.
You opposed it, Bob.
You opposed it, Bob. All those in favour of the motion? As is. That it not reopen at present. All those against? Division? By me. All those in favour? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Ibushi. All those against, Councillor Turner. I'll declare the division carried. Thank you, councillors. 12.11, contract award 17/018, Bridge Road Streetscape. And Mr. Shannon's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In this year's budget, Council has allocated a sum of $560,000 for the upgrade and improvements of Bridge Road in North and South between Blaney Drive and Exford Road. Councils will be aware that this is a key gateway into the Toolan Precinct Structure Plan area and into the Atherston area in the first instance, so it will provide ultimately improved access to a significant number of council facilities, including the athletics track, the community facility and the hockey pitch, which were recently constructed, as well as the regional playground. The works involved are in essence an upgrade of the existing sealed road. It will involve new footpaths, curbing, indented parking and improvements to the landscaping along the northern side of Bridge Road. The project has been placed out to public tender. There were two submissions received, as detailed in the officer's report. A tender evaluation has taken place of both tender submissions, and Madam Mayor, it's recommended that following that process, the project be awarded to CDN Constructions for a figure of approximately $534,000, which I note is under the allocated budget of $560,000. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Okay. When you have a gateway vista, you always go to, let's say, the side elements. Is there any vision there to include Blamey Drive in this to give it that vista and also the side element? So if you shoot down onto Bridge Road, you look left and right, you look along the creek, you look along the figure of Blamey Drive, it's devoid of anything and everything. There's not a tree to be seen. Is there any vision to include this?
Through you, Madam Mayor, certainly the design of the works and the landscaping along Bridge Road itself, considerable thought was given to that, as it clearly is a significant gateway into the Toolan estate. That at this stage doesn't extend into Blamey Drive, and that was largely relating to the extent of the budget available. Certainly we do have a annual recurrent budget to undertake street tree improvements within the urban areas of the urban settlements in the municipality, so we can, through that program, address the Blamey Drive interface with Bridge Road to ensure that they do tie in, and we can certainly do that sort of as a wrap-up of this project.
May I just add that final point? Can I encourage council officers to include Blamey Drive in that vista in future programs?
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Does any other councillor seek further clarification?
Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I rise to congratulate the officers on the report and also to move the following. Delegate to the Chief Executive Officer authority to execute all relevant documentation to award contract number 17-018 Bridge Road Streetscape to CDN Constructions and advise all tenderers accordingly. I so move.
And you will move items 1 and 2 as well?
Items 1 and 2 are inclusive, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor Hardy has moved the motion before us. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to second that motion.
Thank you, Councillor Mendez. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Mendez. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion?
Just quickly, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Similar to what we've discussed before, streetscape and also vistas require special treatment, particularly to our new development areas. And this is no lesser of a vista and also something that Melton will be very, very proud of in the future. I encourage all councillors to support. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Does any other councillor wish to speak? Okay, discussion or debate closed. We will now move to the vote. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Mendez. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hand. Motion's carried. Thank you. Councillors will turn to 12.12. The request to... it's blocked. Blocked. 12.14. The lease to Optus Telecommunications Infrastructure. Ms. Denyer to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council in relation to a proposed lease of part of the Burnside Heights Recreation Reserve, 1 to 31 Freelands Drive, Burnside Heights. Without wanting to put the cart before the horse, Madam Mayor, if I could take you immediately to the resolution as printed in the agenda. Given the resolution of Council earlier in the meeting at item 12.6 in relation to the extension of the planning permit, where Council resolved to defer consideration of the extension to allow notification to the surrounding residents and allow them to make submissions, I cannot now recommend entry into the lease as per the recommendation printed in the agenda. In those circumstances, ultimately, I will be recommending that the matter lay on the table pending a determination of the extension. And so I'm in your hands as to whether you want the full report presented at this time or at some time in the future.
Is there a councillor prepared?
Councillor Carley.
Madam Mayor, I'm happy for this to lay on the table pending on the outcome of Council's previous resolution earlier in the evening.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ibushi. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Ibushi, and that's that the report lay on the table for the next month, pending the outcome. Okay, all those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to the delegations. Okay, we have our reports from delegates appointed to other bodies on behalf of Council. Is everybody prepared to go? Councillor Carley, would you like to commence?
Madam Mayor, I'm nil at the moment. My first committee meeting will be this later on this week, so nothing from me.
Thank you. Councillor DeSantis?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended two committee meetings, which were my first as councillor. The first one was for the Melton Waves Legislative Committee. Just a brief summary of what happened. There's a lot of renovations going on, but there is a desperate need for more repairs and renovations from what I was aware. There was issues with boilers which were repaired. Sorry, Murray, am I just clarifying that with
you? Right.
Yes, new ones were replaced. The centre is looking a lot cleaner. Toilets and change rooms were cleaner. Front office and canteen had a revamp and a clean-up. Some carpeted areas had some the carpet tiles replaced, but it is in desperate need of some more renovations, so that's what I found from the first one. And the second one was the Melton Residents Association, which was on the Wednesday, the 1st of February. Main concerns, concerns with the dog attacks and some hooning with unregistered motorbikes in the Melton area, which there were safety concerns. Melton City Council officers were congratulated for the great work they've done in the town square and Palmerston Street, and they were very pleased with that. There was also awesome feedback from for Melton City Council and their efficiency when dealing with inquiries, which I thought was wonderful. There was concern with the drains on Blamey Drive, which are in quite a bad state at the moment. And they also, which I'd like to also congratulate Mr. Alan Perry on becoming the Citizen of the Year. So, thank you. Hang on.
Don't go anywhere.
That's me. Thank you,
Councillor DeSantis, and I'll be most generous at this one, but the Melton Residents Association, regardless of how popular they might think they are, aren't a formal council committee. So you can do that in the next stage of acknowledgements. Councillor Boucher, I'll go to you first. Neil? Councillor Mendes? Neil? Councillor Kesich?
Madam Mayor, on the 23rd of January, I was due to go on visit waste disposal at TIP. But actually, on that day was my birthday, and my family organised TIP away, so I apologise, I was unable to attend.
Okay, thank you. That too, was that one of your committees of council?
That's correct, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 25th of December, I actually attended the Arts and Culture Advisory Committee, but that was last year, so won't worry about that.
Oh, you can, because I've got a couple from last year, too.
Okay. This was quite a night, because it was announced that the Arts and Culture Officer had resigned, but the good news is we've already replaced that lady. She did a fantastic job, but there is an announcement coming up soon that we've found the new Arts Officer. Okay.
Yep.
Sorry. Sorry, I thought I did something wrong.
I will pick you up. You never do anything wrong, Councillor.
No, don't you? Just ask a wife. So, on the 23rd of January, I did attend the as Councillor Kessick said, there was a meeting with the residents and, well, not the residents, but the advisory committee. Mm-hmm. It was basically the first night, setting down the rules, finding out who was all there. It's going to be a little bit of a different committee this time round, I think. But it was an interesting night. Nothing was gained on the night. Last Thursday night, I attended the Metropolitan Waste Management Group in the city. There was elections on the night for the board. But the biggest, the main speaker of the day was talking about basically recycling everything that, as much as we can. There's going to be so much increase in waste over the next 10, 15, 20 years that we won't be able to cope, so that the thing now is to get everything we can out of the waste, all recyclables, including food as well. So the amount, if you've probably been seeing the figures in the past, but the amount of food waste, and I couldn't believe it, is something like 50% of waste that goes to the tip is food waste. Mm. So I think it's something we as a council should be looking at, finding a way to divert that from the tip into some sort of recycling. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Turner, have there been any results of the board elections as yet?
That was one of the elections for the committee on the night. The ones that run at the forum.
Okay.
The other ones are due, I think it's the 15th of this month.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. On the 7th of December, I attended my first meeting of the Audit Committee. Definitely an eye-opener, and a new chairman was elected, and the old chairman was thanked for his diligence to the task. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of issues that were put on the table, and I've got to be careful because it is a committee that's in camera. Mm-hmm. So I can report is that the finances are well in hand, the diligence, the legal, all the frameworks are in hand for the council to be very active and progressive in the future. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Fantastic. Well, I had a couple of committee meetings in December, and then we'll get into the January-February ones. Melton Waves Reference Group, and it definitely was an eye-opener in regards to how much actually gets spent on the boilers out the back that nobody sees. Leave West December meeting was also held. The Western Base Board meeting was held. Policy Review Panel was held. And Councillor Carley forgot that one, but she was there. And also Councillor Hardy. The Road Safety meeting for Westgate was held. And then we moved into January. Interface Council met last week or the week before. We also had a meet and greet with the Minister for Local Government, Minister Natalie Hutchins, and we talked about the interface issues. And I also attended the Municipal Fire Prevention meeting last week as well. Thank you. If anybody requires any further detail, please don't hesitate. Okay, now we'll move on to councillor representation and acknowledgements. I'll start off with Councillor Turner first.
That is surprising, right, Madam Mayor?
Now, Councillor Turner.
23rd of December, actually, on your behalf, because you were on holiday, I attended Waterford Estate for the winners of the Christmas light decorations. I was on, had to drive around the night before, and it was quite a challenge. 2 hours in the dark, finding all the houses that had Christmas tree lights. But it was good. It was good. They had a bit of a barbecue on the 23rd, and we presented the awards, and all went well. Attended Really for Life fundraiser at Tabcourt Park on the 20th of January. On the 25th of January, along with yourself, we attended the I think it was just the two of us. I don't think, can't remember any other councillors being there. There might have been, though, but in my memory. The Melton Chinese Friendship Association for the Lunar New Year, and that was a good day. Well, of course, we made these little pockets. What do you call them, Mark Mayor?
Dumplings.
That's what they are, dumplings, yeah. So we made little dumplings, and that was good as well. Anyway, on the 26th of 10th, the Destroy You Day, I'll let other councillors speak about that. And on Sunday there, I attended the David Cleage car show, which was great. And actually, I was in the Lions get-up, but I was actually working with the Rotary, so we're actually doing a lot of work together, which is great. They've come to help us. They helped us at the Gerard Festival, and we're helping them just as payback. And yesterday afternoon with the Melton Gold Cup, which was another great day, and I'll leave you guys to speak about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bushy.
26th of February, 26th of January, I should have said, pardon me, the Australia Day events at the Willows, which is fantastic. My first one attending as a councillor. Congratulations to all those who received all those that were nominated and those that received an award on the day. And welcome to New Australians. That was fantastic. 28th, probably the biggest highlight for me was attending the opening of the Caroline Springs Railway Station, which was a long time coming. It was a fantastic day to stand there and witness the final product, because I think we've been advocating, our community in Eastern Corridor has been advocating for a train station for a very, very long time. And it was good to also see the member for Coleroit, Marlene Carews, and a few of her staffers attend and officially open, and see most of the councillors were there. It was absolutely fantastic and a good win for our local community within our municipality. And on the 4th of Feb, which was just last weekend, the community engagement sessions were fantastic. I attended Melton Library and Caroline Springs to meet with the number of individuals, residents and community groups to hear about their plans and needs for us to consider in the next budget. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Mendes. I'm shaking it up so no one knows who's next.
No, that's right. Okay, we were extremely busy over the last month. I'll start with Australia Day. It was fantastic to see so many of our residents becoming citizens of both Melton and of Australia. And I think the most touching element for me was the speech by the Sudanese man and the way in which he conducted himself. It was quite hard to hold back tears at the end. I won't embarrass Alan Perry, but I do have to say I think he's been a wonderful choice for Citizen of the Year, and I'm also impressed to see so many of our citizens being recognised on a yearly basis. Second event was a little library launch that I went with to Melissa DeSantis and Councillor Ramsey, and it was a very touching morning also, because besides the launch of the little library was the food handouts, which happen every Friday morning, and I can only urge people to donate if you belong to a company or you have that has food, that you'll be able to drop it down to this South Community Centre on a Friday morning. They'd be greatly appreciative of whatever you could give them. Air cartons or plastic bags, because we had a great morning there assisting the volunteers. So if members of the community can help out and go down there on a Friday morning to drop things off or assist, it would be greatly appreciated. And the Caroline Springs Railway Station, well, that's an asset that we've all been waiting for. It was a fantastic morning to watch Marlene Carutz open the station, and it's already being used by a large number of our residents. And the next lovely event that I had an enjoyment of attending was two hats on, as a councillor and as a teacher, and it was the turning of the soil for Taylor Hills New Secondary School last Thursday. And I'd like to thank both, or all three, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Carley and Councillor Turner, because you were around at the commencement of that when we actually got parents from Springside Peter Norrin College together, and myself, and Natalie Hutchins, to actually start lobbying and petitioning the state government. So without you three and the other people mentioned, that wouldn't have got off the ground. So I thank you all for that. And a big thank you also to Sally Safane and Eva Fattore from Springside College. It's their parents who actually pushed and lobbied for over nearly 3 years to get that off the ground. And the excitement on the students' faces last week when they lobbied on, walked all the way up from Springside up the hill to see Vista Drive with their little shovels on, and then they had to put their hard hats and their coats on, and the comments afterwards were quite laughable, and probably have many memories to think about for the rest of the year from on that event. And then on the weekend, the pre-budget sessions for residents. It was great to see so many residents actually coming to us with their ideas and thoughts. Many already provided in writing with budgets prepared for us. So I'm really impressed to see residents coming on board and coming to these events. And then yesterday, well, we've all got results to show from the Melton Gold Cup, because quite a few of the councillors are quite windblown. On the 5th of February, it was a great day for us to watch the many races that took place. It was an education for me, because it's not something that I've actually ever attended, with speedboat races. But between my brother-in-law and my nephew and others around me, I certainly learned a lot. So it was a great day, and I look forward to attending again. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, I attended Australia Day first time as a councillor, and I was very, very, very touched on that day. Some 18 years ago, I came to this beautiful country with my wife and two children as a refugee from former Yugoslavia, listening other people and their experiences, and seeing how beautiful country we live. I'm so proud of Australia, and once again, thank you everyone in Australia to giving opportunity to myself and my wife and children to live here and call this beautiful country our home. Second one that I attended was Caroline Springs railway station opening, which is great for our community, and well done for everyone who's been involved in that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In January, I attended the Mountain South Community Centre Little Library Launch, which the staff and volunteers there have organised. they've also, other than this initiative, they've also, as Councillor Mendes was mentioning about the food bank, they do so much for the community. So she's already touched on that, so I won't re-go there, but they do a fantastic job. I just thought it was so refreshing to see the community helping each other and working together. On the 28th of January, I was honoured to attend the Caroline Springs Railway Station official opening Community Day with local members Marlene Carutz and Don Nardella. And I'd like to thank the Andrews Labor Government for the funding for that, as well as the Mount City Council, and with my fellow councillors. Saturday, February 4th, I attended the community engagement sessions at the Melton Library and the Caroline Springs Library. And we met with residents to hear their specific needs and what they wish for in the community for funding purposes. Sunday the 5th of February was the Melton Gold Cup. It was an honour to be there. We were made very, very welcome at the event and had a wonderful time. And it was great that it was fundraiser for Beyond Blue and Children First, which I thought was fantastic. And thank you to all the Melton City Council officers for organising that too, because it was fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Like many of the councillors, I also attended the Australia Day celebrations, where 180 new Australians took the oath of allegiance, and there was presentations to those much talked about people who have worked so tirelessly in the community and whose praises very rarely get sung, so congratulations. On the 4th of February, I attended the community engagement sessions both here in Melton and also at Caroline Springs. The people attending there, yes, they have visions of what they want for the community, what they actually can enhance the community, what little, finances they need to actually bring about, so I highly supportive of this area. And of course the Melton Gold Cup yesterday, I was like many, I sat there and got a little bit overdone with the sun, but yeah, what a wonderful event, the most underutilised resource in Melton, and it should be brought forward and used in many varied different venues, fishing, sailing, sculls from Ballarat, whatever. Because it is a resource, it is underdone, very few people use it, and water ski there at night time. So thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 16th of January, I attended the public meeting that the EPA held at the club in Caroline Springs in regards to the TIP. On the 26th of January, Australia Day, and my fellow councillors have spoken about that, but can I just say that it was an absolutely brilliant day. The Australia Day ambassador was just a wonderful speaker, Ez Aldindini, did I say that right? Our Citizen of the Year, Alan Perry, well done, Alan. Woman of the Year, Joy Lawn. Young Citizen of the Year, Amy Bell, and Access and Inclusion Leader of the Year, Barb and Bob Patterson, and their story was just really heart-touching. And Community Project of the Year, Western Emergency Relief Network. I also attended on the 4th of February with my fellow councillors a community engagement sessions, one in Melton and one in Caroline Springs, and it was great to hear from our residents what you would like to see us concentrate more in the budget and where you would like to see your ratepayers' money be spent. And can I also just take this opportunity, Madam Mayor, just to remind everyone on the 11th of February, our Somersault Festival over in Caroline Springs. Please come down with your family and friends. It will be a fantastic event. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, does anyone mind if I sit during this? Is that okay? I'm feeling a little bit woozy after wearing... you see, I've derobed, so that's okay. I attended so many Christmas functions leading up to the Christmas break, and so many community volunteers were just the salt of the earth. The Taylor's Hill Men's Shed Christmas function, the Melton Men's Shed Christmas function, the Caroline Springs Fishing Club Christmas function, the Melton Warrable LTP Christmas function, where our own Councillor Turner was awarded a gift as he is a mentor for the young LTP drivers. The Melton Secondary College Awards Ceremony, Councillor Turner also accompanied me to that, and we together gave out two scholarships on behalf of the Melton City Council. We had a citizenship ceremony in the hall, which was absolutely sensational, and some of my councillors accompanied me to that, and they hand out flowers better than anyone I know, and they keep control. It's good to see. The Visitors Information Volunteer Christmas Luncheon, to see so many wonderful community members that are tireless at every event they almost go to. They do surveys, they get out and spread the message about Melton City much more, and they're everywhere I go in those red shirts. The launch of the Melton Township Town Centre. That was an absolute highlight towards the end of the year, to see the amphitheatre and the cafe take on a new lease on life, and to have the combined churches Christmas carols there, even though they were standing on the garden, but I won't say anything out loud. The partners of the Vietnam Vets had a Christmas function, and I went along to Linda's Hampers distribution for, I just popped in for that with some of my fellow councillors. In 2017, when the year commenced, Councillor Turner and I went to the Melton Friendship Chinese Association Lunar New Year, and he also told me it was the year of the rooster. But I helped him out with those little pocket things called dumplings. Is rooster, yeah. It is the year of the rooster. I'm going to go on to everything. I'm going to leave Australia for last, so our Citizen of the Year can stress a little bit more. The launch of the Melton South Community Library, linking Melton South, all the groups that come together from our family history group, right through to all the different, to the Melton South Community Centre, to linking Melton South, to the co-health, our own community services that go there from housing, that help out every week. I think you're absolutely sensational, second to none, because what you provide for the community is fantastic. What can I say about the Caroline Springs Railway Station? To the Daniel Andrews Labor Government, I can only say a sincere thank you. It is the road to nowhere, which was ditched, has now finally got a home. Not only that, the duplication of the Melton Railway Station has become a reality. So that was a huge thank you. There are some concerns around the car parking, but with all future growth, there's something that both local government and other levels of government will work together to resolve. So to Marlene, Minister Marlene Cabrus, to Don Nardella, and to all our ministers that have lobbied alongside us, I just wanted to say a huge thank you. Okay, I attended, along with Councillor Turner and our CEO, the HRV Ainsbury Victoria Cup and the HRV Delray National Hunter Cup. I was presented with, from Denise and Tina from Resurgence, a beautiful Melton City Council mosaic. I also attended the Melton Residents Association, and as always, they have a list of wonderful things to tell us that need fixing, but they're our eyes and ears on the ground. Churning of the sod with the Minister, Minister James Molina, was a highlight last week, especially with the young kids, and thank you, Teacher Michelle Mendes, but also Councillor Michelle Mendes, for bringing them down, and the principal, and also the assistant principal, for making that a memory for all of us. There were two community engagement sessions, as everybody has said, and the Gold Cup. The Melbourne Motorboat and Speedboat Club held the Gold Cup, and everybody is windblown, sunstroke, and the rest of it, but Unleashed won the Gold Cup. It was a great day. It definitely put Melton on the map, and they should be commended for everything they do, but also for our staff for making it a tourist destination for the weekend and to actually invite delegates from right around the tourist industry to show them what our hidden secrets are all about. Now, last but not least, 180 citizens took their pledge, and my dad and my sister came out 30-something years ago as refugees from Yugoslavia, so I know how touched we are by that, and also my mum and grandma migrated out here. So at the end of the day, we have 180 new citizens on Australia Day. We had a beautiful speaker, a Sudanese young man who did a Q&A with our CEO, and I thought they could almost run the show. It was absolutely fantastic. He was genuine, he was down to earth, and Ez really won the crowd over. Councillor Carley has listed our wonderful Citizens of the Year and the awards they got. I just wanted to touch on two in particular, and not because of any priorities. I've known Barb and Robert Patterson now for about 30 years. They have had disabled children. They have raised their own family. They've adopted other disabled families that have had no families to go to and have basically been abandoned. And one of their very first, or actually it was their second child they adopted, Crystal, went to school with my kids something like 15, 16 years ago. And still today, as they're ageing, they still open their doors to look after and care for the needs of these families. So another 10-year-old young lass won the youth, and she spoke beautifully, and I think everybody just wanted to give her a hug. But there was one very special man in the audience, above none. He is filled with humility. He just gets on and does the job. He doesn't like the notoriety. That's why I'm giving it to him. But Mr. Alan Perry, you are second to none, a very worthy winner. And would you like to say anything to the Chamber? You sure? Well done. Okay, we'll get back into the world of business, shall we? What was your slogan? What was your slogan, though?
Let's work together.
Let's work together. That's fantastic. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please turn to notices of motion, councillors. 15.1, notice of motion 446, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the following, that the Melbourne City Council CEO contact the following: the Public Transport Corporation, VicTrack, V-Line, VicRoads, State Government Representatives on Rail and Road Transport, Melbourne City Council Officers and Councillors. In relation to a motion precinct road and rail transport plan, currently there are numerous reports on duplicated rail line when unaddressing the following: Station Road and Coburn Road boom gates. This needs to be coordinated to ensure local traffic is not log jammed whilst both booth gates are down and trains approaching upon signalling. Car parking arrangements are currently full utilised, and there is a need for further car parking arrangements, as the duplicated rail line will bring forward further patronage. The traffic lights on Coburn Road and Station Road need to be coordinated to ensure local traffic can move around Melton when the boom gates are operational. Bullmans Road and Western Highway interchange need to be brought forward, ensuring local traffic can access the freeway without going into the heart of Melton via Coburn Road interchange to the freeway. Bullmans Road to Brooklyn Road needs to be freed up, with Brooklyn Road being duplicated for heavier traffic use through to First Road, and this would create a ring road effect for Melton vehicle traffic. Local residents on Brooklyn Road need to be given car parking identification to ensure they are not processed by local parking officers. This is an integrated rail and transport precinct plan and needs to be assessed, and is not limited to the points above. Rail patronage needs seeking and timetable to facilitate equal adequate train services. In assessing these points, the community needs to be consulted to ensure that the following are attended to.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder for the motion? The motion before us has been
moved. And so I'd like to just say what, quickly?
Can I just get... Then you will get your opportunity to speak, I promise you. With this new process, our councillors, I will promise you. Actually, I was picked up on meeting procedure last week because we hadn't, last month because we hadn't been following it. So let's just go through the way we've adopted it. Councillor Hardy's, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Turner. Would anyone like to speak to the motion? Councillor Hardy, would you like to speak first? Oh, sorry, Councillor.
Thank you. Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, just looking at Councillor Hardy's motion, and if you could just please explain...
Is this clarification?
Yeah.
Okay,
thank
sorry.
You, Madam Mayor. If you could just explain this notice of motion, because when I look at the officer's comments, like I've previously said, we're actually already doing everything that Councillor Hardy's stated. So it says here that Melton City Council adopted the Melton Integrated Transport Strategy, moving Melton, in December 2015, and then council officers regularly meet with representatives from state government transport agencies regarding the transport network, advocating of the priorities identified, and so on and so on. So if we're already doing that, I still don't get why we're actually moving this notice of motion.
Okay. Who would like to respond to that? Councillor Hardy, would you like to respond to that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a coordinated one-stop shop. What it does is state governments, federal governments bring everybody to the table to ensure that their strategic planning is adequate, takes up all the options and also planning issues that should be attended to. This is nothing more, nothing less than bringing everybody to the table. I put the point to you that Vic Rail are doing flyovers and underpasses everywhere else except Melton. If the rail gates fail, Melton is log-jammed. We cannot move. I'm not addressing the issues. I'm just saying on that one issue, that's the reason why it needs to be coordinated.
Does that satisfy your response, Councillor Carling?
So, Madam Mayor, is Councillor Hardy saying that he wants a round table discussion with all these departments and for Council to host that meeting? Is that what you're saying?
No, the round table is bringing everybody to the table and we actually understand who is responsible for actually what they're doing and their budgets and their timeframes. You actually get the planning issues on the table. As Melton has exponential growth and needs to have the answers yesterday, not in 5 years' time, when
so
we can't afford
Carly,
it.
Oh, Councillor Hardy, sorry. Councillor Carly made the question, is this for the CEO to facilitate these players for a roundtable discussion?
Correct, Madam.
On the issues below. Are you happy with that response, Councillor Carly?
Yes, that's fine, Madam Mayor, because just the way it was, I mean, we're already kind of doing that anyway, as I understand. So will councillors be able to attend this meeting, or is it just these or the Public Transport Corporation, VicTrack, V-Line, VicRoads, state government representatives, and just
councillors.
Officers and councillors, all councillors, not just ward councillors? Okay. And we'll be given notice, Madam Mayor, when this meeting's taken place?
You're always given notice.
No, I'm just asking. Yeah, because it's a little bit, it doesn't actually state it here, so I just want to make sure.
Okay. Do you want to make any amendments to that notice of motion?
No.
To include the roundtable discussion, or? No, you're happy. All right. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Turner. We'll go back to speaking to the motion, not seeking clarification. All those who would like to speak to the motion, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As I said before, what this does is brings all the department heads to a round table and gives us an idea of responsibility, timeframes and budgets, so we can plan. What Melton has been denied in the past is a focus on what is needed today. In 5 years' time, we won't be able to afford the mistakes that we make today. So it's best we get it out on the table, understand the responsibilities, and make representations to all the above, including the state government, to ensure that we do have the best planning, not ad hoc. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Now, Councillor Turner, would you like...
I was just going to go home, Madam Mayor. This is a bit wordy for me, to be honest. I do agree with Councillor Tarley that a lot of this stuff we are advocating for, and I'm sure Ken understands that. But I do believe that it's a good notion that to get all these stakeholders in one room at one time and just try and see if you can get some way forward. We are looking ahead. I would disagree with that. Our officers are looking far ahead. We're looking at distant plans, and we advocate for everything under the sun. But this is a good notion, in fact, to try and get everybody under the same room with our CEO to try and see a way forward and get some direction from us, from these stakeholders, what they're planning, so we can plan around what they're planning as well. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion before us? Ken, would you like the right of reply? Councillor Hardy, sorry. See, Councillor Turner called him Ken. And Councillor Hardy, would you like the right of reply? You don't need to.
Madam Mayor, I think that what's been expressed by Councillor Turner is quite adequate. It's quite wordy, yeah, it was done in a hurry, but the intent is to get everybody in the same room, get the direction. Yeah. I agree with Councillor Turner that the officers here do an absolute marvellous job, but we don't control the time frame nor the budgets of state governments. And that's why it is necessary to get them in the room to actually express their views so we can work with them, not at an ad hoc arrangement. Thank you, Councillor Turner, for those kind words.
Thank you. Discussion's finished. Motion before Council has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hand. Motion's carried. Thank you. 15.2, notice of motion 447, Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move motion 447 that Council write to the relevant state government ministers requesting timelines for the construction of Ainsbury Primary School and any relevant developments required at Exford Primary School.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I rise to second the motion, and I agree with the sentiments of Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Okay, I've forgotten. Does any councillor seek further clarification? The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Would any councillor like to speak to the motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy, please. If you're going to speak, Councillor Turner has the first right.
Madam Mayor, everything I need to say is in the motion. This school is badly overdue. Exford Primary has got twice the number of students that was built for. Even sewage is coming up out of the ground. It's just time to meet someone down. We need to really push the state government on this one.
Thank you. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. For long now, the Ainsbury estate has been underutilised, underdone in all fashions, and as we've heard today, that they're questioning the 173 agreement and also the developer's intent once it goes past 1,000. There is a need for infrastructure prior to the development of these estates, especially when they're off the line. Ainsbury is not connected to anything else. It's out there all by itself. So singularly, it needs to have infrastructure, and primary schools are of criteria of importance. I recommend this motion to the councillors. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Turner, would you like to close? Okay. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Hardy. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, 15.3, notice of motion 448, Councillor Ibushi.
Madam Mayor, I give notice of my intention to move that Melton City Council signs up to the Keep Me Posted pledge for the Council's communication channels, supports the campaign via the supporters page of the Keep Me Posted website, including the inclusion of the Council's logo, resolves to communicate support for the Keep Me Posted campaign through all channels to ensure Melton Council residents are aware of their right to choose communication preferences from Council without penalty.
Thank you, Councillor Ibushi. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Ibushi. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion? Councillor Ibushi.
Just for our residents in the gallery, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Keep Me Posted campaign, and I'll keep it short. But basically, with recent trends from corporations to charge a fee for paper-based statements, it is most vulnerable people across Australia that carry the greater burden. In Australia, if you are disabled in a low-income household or dependent on parenting payment, an age pension, disability support pension or Newstart allowance, then the likelihood of no internet access at home is twice to almost five times higher than the national average. Only 51% of Australians over 65 are internet users, and access to the internet falls just 57% for households with an income less than $40,000. The Keep Me Posted campaign was launched to protect those users, and I believe that it's really important for members within our municipality to have that right to choose and to offer all Australians and all residents in our municipality the choice of receiving information through their preferred delivery option, digital or paper, without a fee.
Thank you, Councillor Ibushi. Okay, does any other councillor wish to speak? The motion before us, councillors, is being moved by Councillor Ibushi, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. 15.4, notice of motion 449, Councillor Ibushi.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I give notice of my intention to move that Council write to the Minister for Public Transport, the Honourable Jacinta Allen MP, and the local member for Coleraine, the Honourable Marlene Carews MP, seeking an urgent review of the number of car parking spaces provided at the newly opened Caroline Springs train station, as 350 spaces provided will not meet the local demand.
Thank you, Councillor Ibushi. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to second a motion, but I would like to I'll leave to add a following points.
Mm-hmm.
Amendment would be, instead of seeking a review, substitute the words calling on the state government to commit to providing additional parking spaces in the upcoming state budget. And a point two, that council call on the state government to provide in the short-term overflow car parking in close proximity to the train station until such time as a longer-term solution is achieved. If you're happy with that, fellow councillor.
So are you happy to endorse that? Can I have that second paragraph again, Councillor Kesich?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Second paragraph is that Council a call on the state government to provide in the short term overflow car parking in a close proximity to the train station until such a time as a longer term solution is achieved.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does every councillor know what's before us now? Does any councillor seek clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Is there an adequacy of land in proximity
to
the station
which councils supply? I would say council don't supply the car park, it's the state government. Yeah, but Mr Shannon?
Madam Mayor, I can hopefully answer that. The council doesn't own any land in proximity to the station. However, there is a significant area of privately owned land. As indicated in the recent news story, there are some environmental constraints over some of it. However, there's clearly some land that the state government could have access to provide overflow car parking. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr Shannon. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Does any other councillor seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor. When you're talking about other land, are you meaning road reserves as well, like on Christie's Road and roundabout there?
Through Madam Mayor. No negative. I was thinking about a private on land.
Any further questions? From any councillors? Okay. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor wish to speak on the motion? No? Okay, we'll take the vote then. Motion again, moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Now, 15.5, notice of motion 450 from Councillor Maidlick. Can I just say that there was a media release distributed this afternoon that basically said that the new site had been determined and it wasn't in the city of Melton. Is that correct? So it virtually makes this notice of motion void. So if no one's prepared to move or second it, it will just lapse and we'll go on to the next. So have I got... Everybody's happy? Thank you. 15.6, notice of motion, Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a motion. I hereby give notice of my intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting of Council to be held on 6 February. That officers prepare a report regarding the establishment of a family violence committee in response to the high levels of family violence within the municipality, inclusive of representatives from different service providers specialising within this area.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Do we have a seconder for...
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor DeSantis, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Would any councillor like to speak on the motion?
Could I just have some clarification on something?
Yes, certainly.
Sorry, can I just address Murray if possible?
You want to seek some clarification?
If I can, is that possible? Okay. Murray, I was just wondering if this report was passed, how long would you need to get back to council on that?
There's a fair bit of information that would need to go into the report. It's important that you get the most up-to-date information and the work we're doing at the moment right across the council. So I would suggest that we'll try to achieve getting this report up to the April council meeting, if you're comfortable with that, Councillor DeSantis.
That'd be great. Thank you, Murray. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor.
So again, any other questions or clarification? The motion before us has been moved by Councillor DeSantis, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion? Okay, if Councillor Bushy wants to speak to the motion, can I just ask Councillor DeSantis if she would like to speak first? You're happy? Are you going to dissent?
No.
From the motion?
No.
Councillor Carley, would you like to speak?
I'm happy for Councillor Bushy to speak, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Bushy.
Sorry, Dean.
Third time lucky.
No, that's the meeting procedure we've subscribed to.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. It's not. I just wanted to congratulate and commend Councillor DeSantis for standing up for families. I know it's her passion to stand up for families within our municipality, and this is exactly what we need. So thank you, Councillor DeSantis.
Does any other councillor wish to speak to the motion? Councillor DeSantis, would you like the right of reply?
I'd just like to say this is much needed in this community, and I'm hoping that this brings a lot for our community with family violence, especially that we are one of the highest in Victoria.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Okay. Motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor DeSantis, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, councillors, questions without notice. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. The issue of telecommunication towers in Melton is a very vexing and always going to be a complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to have council officers consider, can we look at reserves, very much like the high voltage power reserves, to be allocated for future telecommunication towers to be located in those zones, and that way it doesn't come into the interface of public amenity, public schools, or anything else is over with difficulty. And the bottom line is, and if so, can this be incorporated into our planning scheme?
Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor, there's a number of answers to that question. Firstly, Council has initiated a project whereby we'll be engaging with the telecommunication providers in developing a policy and a strategy to provide more direction into the future about where such facilities could go. I should point out that there are a number of constraints that the providers consider when determining where to locate a facility, one of which is land ownership. Do they have the consent of the owner? But equally as important is the ability for signals to reach the tower, so it depends on the terrain of the land as to where a tower can be best considered, best located. So in answer to your question, Councillor Hardy, a piece of work is being done which will be reported back to Council over the coming months, which addresses that issue. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions?
Sorry, Madam Mayor, thank you very much for that answer. That takes care of the reserves. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillors, questions without notice? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I just have a question for, I believe, Mr Shannon. It's just in regards to the land that's on the corner of Melton Highway and Bantry Grove, which I believe is a QIC site. Do we know if QIC have any intentions to build at that site? And if they don't, as they've held on to that land for quite some time now, is there anything that council can do to stop developers from land banking?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the land in question is indeed owned by a company directly associated with QIC, who are also the owners of Water Gardens and the Woodgrove Shopping Centre. Whilst we have had discussions with QIC in recent years about the development of the site, which is set aside for a supermarket and other associated shops, there's no formal proposal before us at the moment, and I understand that is purely due to commercial reasons. In other words, they're of the view that it's commercially not warranted given the population and other facilities in the immediate location. It's very difficult for council to force their hand in that matter. We can continue to talk to them about their plans and encourage them and express the community's desire to have the appropriate facilities built there, but at the end of the day it will be a commercial decision for them until such time as they potentially decide to sell the land.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Any other questions without notice? Councillor Mendes.
Through you, Madam Mayor. I would like to put a motion to the Eastern Corridor for the duplication of Hume Drive, which has caused anxiety and heavy congestion for far too long. On behalf of my residents in Watts Ward, could I please get an indication, if funded in this year's budget, when this road would be completed?
Through Madam Mayor, Hume Drive is on Council's Capital Works Program for construction, and the design of the section between the City of Brimbank and Goulet Road is underway at the moment. Hume Drive then subsequently extends further to the west towards City Vista Court, but the immediate pressure area, I think, is clearly that area from the City of Brimbank, particularly through to Quarter Park Drive, and then the next most significant segment is through to Goulet Road. Council, as part of its upcoming budget process, will be considering its priorities in terms of capital works, and that will be an item for serious discussion. It's a fairly significant length of road, so there's a reasonable amount of money involved in duplicating that road. But as I said, it will be discussed through that process. In terms of timing of construction, it would take around about 12 months to build, or thereabouts, and that would need to follow, obviously, a public tender process once the works are fully designed. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Questions with that notice? Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, Madam Mayor, I'd like to ask what's actually happening on the Western Highway, especially around about Mount Coral Road. I believe that the road works have nearly been finished before Christmas, but it seems to be going on and on. If our officers have an answer to that, thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I think Councillor Turner is referring to the roadworks occurring immediately adjacent to the Thornhill Park Estate, which is on the Western Highway between Paynes Road and Mount Cottrell Road. There's currently concrete barriers on adjacent to the Western Freeway where the developer of the estate is building and what's called an acceleration and deceleration lane, so in other words, enabling future residents of that estate to be able to access the site from the Western Highway through newly constructed lanes. I agree the work's taking way too long. It's works that is occurring on Vic Rose Road, so Council has no control in relation to the timing specifically. Vic Rose have indicated that the works are scheduled to be complete in March, so the end of next month. So I would hope that would then enable the concrete barriers to be removed and the speed restrictions removed in that location. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Any other questions with that notice from councillors? We'll then move on to motions with that notice. Sorry?
You didn't see my hand go up.
Sorry, do you? Okay. If you stand up, I'm more likely to see that. Thank you, Councillor Bushy.
Today there was a bit of banter on social media around the filling of the lake at Spring Lake or Chisholm House Lake, you know, the one lake we're talking about. What can we do via Melbourne Water to expedite the filling of that lake as opposed to waiting 9 months for natural rain to fill that lake?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the front lake at Caroline Springs adjacent to the Western Freeway is under the control of Melbourne Water and is certainly looking very sad because the water levels are quite low. Normally that's quite a full lake and is the showpiece in terms of the entry to Caroline Springs. We have been in discussions with Melbourne Water about how they may have it refilled more quickly because it is actually part of the drainage system, so when it rains in the winter it does fill naturally. It's at the end of the catchment. They are currently exploring the opportunity to use bore water, which is in that general location. It would require retapping a previously existing bore, so they're exploring that. We will again put the appropriate level of pressure on Melbourne Water to ensure that that's filled as soon as possible and not wait until winter. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Have we completed questions, councillors? I'll now move on to motions without notice. Motions without notice? Okay. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Council write to the Honourable Marlene Kayaroos, Member for Corroy, to thank her for her hard work in regards to delivering the Caroline Springs Station for our community, and the Council write to the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, thanking her for all her hard work in regards to securing the funding for the much-needed secondary school in Taylors Hill West. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And other notices of motion?
Councillor Mendes.
Motion to that notice, sorry.
That council officers write to Vic Roads and request that the current speed limit be reduced from 80 kilometres to 60 kilometres on the Diggers Rest Comity Road. And the second one is those officers also could investigate the costs of sealing Creamery, Burton and Mechanics Roads and provide a report to council. Council write to Vic Roads to have 40 kilometres during 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. and 2:30 to 4:30 on Creamery, Burton and Mechanics Roads.
Can I thank you, Councillor Mendes. Have we got the motions with that notice and also the questions with that notice in writing?
Madam Mayor, I can email that this evening to
That's okay, that Ms. would be Xenia. Good. Just so we get it correct. Okay, any other notices or motions without notice?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Bushi.
It's my pleasure to present a motion without notice in support of the Melton Botanic Gardens, and specifically the Melton Botanic Gardens, an official open event. That Council facilitate an official opening of the Melton Botanic Gardens in 2017 with a focus of inviting the Honourable Daniel Andrews MP and the Governor of Victoria, the Honourable Linda DeSalle AM, to officially open the gardens.
Thank you, Councillor Bushi. I might cry and say, what about me?
Arkingham?
Okay. Any other notices of motions without notice?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a notice of motion that council officers provide a report to council on the outcomes of the free greenway service provided in 2015-2016 at the Melton Recycling Facility in November, along with the option of expanding the times on which these services are available. And by times, I mean dates. Months, dates, whatever you want to put, not the actual times on the days. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if everybody could get the wording of their motions to council officers so they can be included as read in the minutes. Urgent business. Neil? Confidential business. If I've got someone who can move the procedure motion for me.
Madam Mayor, I move the motion that pursuant to Section 89, Section 2 of the Local Government Act 1989, that the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for reasons indicated.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have the seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Carley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hand. Motion's carried. To the gallery, we won't be very long. Thank you for resuming in 2017. It's great to see so many familiar faces back. And yet again, Citizen of the Year, Mr. Alan Perry. Well done.